Our second reading, which will also be the basis of the sermon message, is taken from the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. And this text teaches us that Jesus is our great high priest and offers up his very life for us, that we might have salvation and forgiveness. Beginning with verse 1, every high priest is selected from among men and is appointed to represent them in matters related to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and are going astray, since he himself is subject to weakness. This is why he has to offer sacrifices for his own sins as well as for the sins of the people. No one takes this honor upon himself. He must be called by God, just as Aaron was. So Christ also did not take upon himself the glory of becoming a high priest. But God said to him, "You are my son. Today I have become your father." And he says in another place, "You are a priest forever, in the order of Melchizedek." During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became a source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and was designated by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek. This is the word of the Lord. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, this morning I have a little question to ask you, and that is, in your lifetime, have you ever found yourself trying to get into the mind of someone, trying to understand what that person is thinking, trying to understand why that person would say what they would say, or possibly do what they do? Try to relate with them in some way in order to help that person with a problem they might be dealing with in their own personal life. Maybe try to identify with them, to sympathize with them. Now we know that school counselors, psychologists, and psychiatrists actually do this for a living. They try to understand those whom they counsel and guide in order to help them, in order to make their life better. And in the case of psychiatrists, they provide medicine from time to time. Now, as ridiculous as it may sound, sometimes I think we try to get into God's mind. We try to figure him out. And we have our own presuppositions. How can Jesus really understand what's happening in my life right now? After all, we live, don't we, in a very fast-paced society here in the 21st century? We have internet, we have social media, we have Twitter, we have cell phones, and all of this technology that is just booming all around us. And our time, our age, is completely, completely different from the dusty roads that Jesus walked in the first century. So how can he understand my needs today in the world in which I live? How can he understand what causes me worry? What causes me stress? Sometimes we think that way when we come before the Lord. Does Jesus know and care about the things that are happening to me? Now we acknowledge, and the scriptures clearly teach, that the Lord is God. Jesus is the second person of the Holy Trinity. The Bible clearly teaches this in many scripture passages, and I know Pastor Ed before his surgery was going through a lot of those texts in the Gospel of John and talking about that. We know that Jesus was there from the very beginning. He actually was the Word that spoke and brought everything into existence at creation. And now, the Bible tells us that Jesus rules everything in heaven, and he rules throughout the universe. He is the King of the universe. Jesus is totally different from us. In this way, his wisdom and his knowledge, his decisions are beyond our comprehension. So how can Jesus understand the things that are happening in my life right now? Now, we know that Jesus is the one and only perfect person who ever walked planet Earth following Adam's sin in the garden. So that leads us to an important question. Was his personality, his character, his ability to cope, his understanding and compassion and patience so perfect from the moment he was born that it made it impossible for him to understand what it's like to be not perfect, what it's like to be imperfect? And this is an important question. No doubt, over time, theologians have even looked at it themselves and wrote about it. But the conclusion we come up with is absolutely not. Jesus is able to relate and understand with us. The Bible teaches us that through his birth, through his life, and through his death, God became part of what it means to be human. He didn't stand at a distance. He didn't stand far off from our pain and our trouble that we experience and sometimes endure in this life. He came right in the middle of everything that you can imagine that causes suffering or sadness or depression or sin, rebellion, and even death. He came right in the middle of it, and he ministered to people in those situations. This is what we find throughout the entire Gospels. Jesus connecting with people. Jesus reaching out to people. People that no one else would connect with, no one else would even touch. Yet Jesus touched them. If you think about it, a couple months ago, we had the great and grand celebration of Christmas. And that's what it's about. God leaving heaven and enduring all that is involved in becoming a human on this planet, planet Earth. God became one of us in the birth in Bethlehem's manger. Because Jesus is God and man, he's able to identify us with us. He knows what's really happening inside of us. He knows what makes us tick, everything about us. He knows this because he lived among us. Isn't that incredible that God came down from heaven to live among us, to find out what it was like, and to show the greatness and the vastness of his incredible love, to minister to us and teach us a new way, as we heard in the gospel lesson, where Jesus teaches us, don't be like those who exercise authority over people, but rather be in submission to others. Seek to serve people and do it out of love. We say that through Jesus, our Lord knows what it's like to be hungry. He knows what it's like to have plenty. He knows what it's like to toil and sweat. He knows what it's like to be tired and to be refreshed. Now, Jesus may not have grown to an old age and understand what old age is like and the aches and pains that come along because of it, but he certainly knew pain and he endured it. He endured terrible agony on the cross. He didn't have to. He did it voluntarily. He did it for us to show the depth of God's love. I often say, what an incredible God we have. There is none like him. What an incredible God. God understands what it's like to enjoy friendship through Jesus. What it feels like to be betrayed. We know that happened to Jesus. to suffer for truth, to be misunderstood, to be rejected, to make enemies, to suffer emotional and physical agony, and even to feel forsaken. That's how Jesus felt on the cross as well. Yes, but Jesus is fully divine and fully human and can understand all of these things. Now, next Sunday is Palm Sunday. And as I looked ahead at the readings, we'll be looking at Philippians chapter 2. And I don't know what next Sunday is going to bring, but just in case, Philippians chapter 2, where Paul writes about Jesus being in the very form of God, but did not want to consider equality with God. So he set aside his glory when he came into the world and took the form of a servant and became obedient, even unto death, death on the cross. And the writer of Hebrews talks about that in a way with the suffering of Jesus. When the writer of Hebrews says, in his life on earth, Jesus made his prayers and requests with loud cries and with tears to God. He is reflecting on Jesus' agony, his sorrow in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he felt fear. He felt dread. He didn't want to endure what laid ahead for him on Calvary's cross. He felt anxiety, just as we would in a similar situation if we were in that situation, or in other situations. He is able to relate with us. Even the writer of Hebrews says, we have one who is able to sympathize with us in our weakness. What a comforting passage that is. That God himself sympathized with us, understands what it's like. He prayed and begged God to save him. But we know that was not the Father's will. Jesus was born to die, to give his life for us so that we might receive forgiveness and salvation. The letter of Hebrews presents Jesus as the obedient Son. And we see this throughout the scriptures. Obedience led to suffering, and even though he feared death as much as anyone, he trusted in the Father perfectly. Now, I can say this morning that I'm sure all of you would agree that none of us here like to suffer. We would like to live a life free of pain and free of suffering, free of sickness and surgeries as well. Injuries, and of course, accidents that happen. We'd like to be free of all of those things. But the scriptures tell us that God uses suffering to build character. Suffering enables us to grow and mature as Christian people. Now, you may remember a time in your life where you had to endure something or some kind of suffering or some circumstance or situation that you had to go through, some kind of trial. And as you look back at it, you see how God used that situation to strengthen you in your faith and in your trust in him. And now you can use that situation, that circumstance, to help someone else who's going through something very similar. And you can share how God was with you all the way, brought you through it. That the sun's going to shine tomorrow, even though today might look bleak. And it's interesting, this is exactly what the Apostle Paul writes about. It's a great passage. You can find it in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and following. Chapter 1, 3 and following. And this is what he writes. This is really great. He says, "Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God." Isn't that wonderful? "For just as we share abundantly in the suffering of Christ, so also our comfort abounds in Christ." My friends, we can this morning look at Jesus as our example. As he hung on the cross, he felt shame and terror. he suffered and he died. But not without a purpose. The purpose was to bring about redemption and salvation for the entire world. The entire world. Through his blood, his perfect sacrifice, we receive forgiveness, life, and salvation. I know I say that a lot in my messages over the last many, many years, but it's something we should never get tired of hearing. We receive forgiveness, life, and salvation in Christ. That's something we're celebrating every day. And his resurrection on Easter Sunday affirms absolutely and 100% that all of this is true. As a man, Jesus is able to identify with us in all of our situations and circumstances. As our God and Creator, he knows us better than we even know ourselves. A couple Sundays ago, I mentioned that God knows how many hairs are on our head. He knows when the sparrow falls and hits the ground, meaning that he is intimately concerned about every event, detail, no matter how small it is, in our life. As our Creator God, he knows us. And he knew us even before we were born. And he had a plan for us to know his Son, Jesus Christ, and to be given the gift of salvation. He rose from the dead and he rules the heavens and throughout the universe. He is our high priest who presents our needs and our prayers before our wonderful, blessed Father in heaven. At the beginning of the message, I talked a little bit about getting into the mind of someone else, understanding that person, where they're coming from and what they are thinking and why they do what they do and say what they say. Now, often that is a mystery. We cannot know that fully or completely. But I can tell you this morning, absolutely 100%, that it is no mystery to Jesus. Be assured, he is our high priest. And as our high priest, he hears every prayer we bring before him. He knows us and knows what's going on in our hearts and in our lives. He understands us completely. What a wonderful God we have. What a blessed God that we gather here to worship. And today we just praise and give glory to his most holy, holy name. Amen. We continue now with our prayers as we bring our petitions before our Lord, knowing that he listens to each and every one of them completely. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we humbly come before you in the most holy and precious name of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We give thanks to you, Lord, that he is our high priest and that he intercedes on our behalf and he brings our prayers and petitions before your heavenly throne. We thank you, gracious Lord, that you hear each one of our prayers, no matter how small or insignificant we might think it is. Gracious Lord, today we come before you and we give you thanks for the life, death, and resurrection of your Son. We ask you to be with us in our Lenten journey as we travel to the cross and to the open tomb on Easter morning. We ask your blessings upon us to strengthen our faith on our journey, to build our confidence and trust in you along the way always. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Lord, we also come before you this day and ask your blessing upon those who are leaders of this great nation. Guide and direct them, we pray. Give them wisdom from on high, especially, we pray, through the sacred scriptures, gracious Lord. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Lord, we also pray for those who are serving in the military, that you would be with them and grant protection upon them, especially those who may be members or friends or family members within this congregation. Enable them also to share their faith in Christ and their trust in him. Lord, in your mercy. And gracious Lord, we give thanks to you for the abundance of rain and snow to the mountains, preparing us for the hot summer months ahead. We pray in your mercy that you would continue to bless us with an ample supply of water to carry us through the year. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Lord, we also come before you. We know that you are the God of healing, and with you all things are possible. And we lay before you those within this congregation who are in need of strength and healing. We remember Pastor Ed this morning. Gracious Lord, be with him and let your hand of healing be upon him, giving him strength and recovery to his voice. Also in our hearts and minds this day are those who are unable to be with us because they are homebound. And also, Lord, those that are in our hearts and minds today who are heavy in our hearts as we might be remembering a problem that they have or the fact that they have drifted away from you. We lift them up to you as well, Lord, asking your strength and healing and guidance and direction be given to them at this time. Lord, in your mercy. We bring all of these prayers and petitions before you in the most holy name of your beloved Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.